Colorful prisms of light slide together to form a glowing logo, A24. Small white logos tick by over a black background, parts and labor. Arty Features, Maiden Voyage Pictures, Mott Street Pictures, and Rook's Nest Entertainment. A title appears over black, The Witch, a New England folktale. A family with a teenage daughter and three young children stand beside a man as he addresses a bench of judges. They wear the attire of Puritan settlers.
What went we out into this wilderness to find? Leaving our country, kindred, our father's houses. We travailed a vast ocean. For what? For what?
We must ask thee to be silent.
Was it not for the pure and faithful dispensation of the Gospels and the Kingdom of God?
No more. We are your judges, and not you ours.
I cannot be judged by false Christians, for I have done nothing save preach Christ's true gospel.
Must you continue to dishonor the laws of the Commonwealth and the Church with your prideful conceit?
If my conscience sees it fit.
Then shall you be banished from this plantation's liberties?
I would be glad on it.
Then take your leave, and trouble us no further.
How sadly hath the Lord testified against you. Catherine.
The man leaves the hall, but his eldest daughter stays frozen.
Thomasin.
Thomasin follows the boy out of the hall. Now, for the family ride on a wagon stacked high with furniture. Native Americans turn to watch as soldiers in armor close the main gate behind the banished family. Thomasin, a blonde girl with dark eyes, stares at the gate. Her mother Catherine grips her hand while holding a small girl. The wagon bumps and wobbles its way toward the edge of a forest. In the dark of night, the family huddles around a small campfire. In the morning, the father kneels on the prairie grass, his face resting on the ground. He sits up, his family kneeling in a line on either side of him. He raises his arms, and a very pregnant Catherine smiles at him. She takes his hand and they gaze out at the distant woods. The adults reach for the children's hands, their drab clothing blending in with the muted landscape. Mist hangs in the air in front of three rough-hewn buildings built in a meadow beside the woods. Inside a cabin, Thomasin kneels with her hands clasped together. Catherine breastfeeds a baby nearby while the father and the boys harvest corn stalks in the field.
I confess I've lived in sin. an idol of my work, disobedient of my parents, neglectful of my prayer. I have, in secret, played upon thy Sabbath and broken every one of thy commandments and thought, followed the desires of mine own will, and not the Holy Spirit. I know I deserve all shame and misery in this life and everlasting hellfire. But I beg thee, for the sake of thy Son, forgive me. Show me mercy. Show me thy light.
Thomasin.
Later, Catherine kneels beside a mud stove near the garden. Thomasin scoops the baby from her mother's arms and carries it past the desolate garden plots and a half-built structure. Near the towering woods, Catherine sets the child in the grass.
Boo! Boo!
Where's Sam? Where is that little man?
Boo!
There you are.
Boo!
Thomasin's smile vanishes. The baby's blanket lies empty.
Sam?
Her gaze fixes on the woods. Thomasin sprints toward the pines, then stops. Deep in the forest, a hooded figure hurries through the shadows and gloom, carrying Sam away into the trees. The figure picks its way past a thick tangle of brambles, its red cloak a spot of color in the bleak landscape. Later, the baby lies naked on a blanket in a room, flickering with firelight. He wriggles as a naked woman approaches him from the darkness. She moves his hand from under the blanket, then strokes his face with her palm. Her wrinkled hand traces the baby's belly before caressing his genitals. She grips a knife with the other hand. With her fingers pressed against Sam's pelvis, she holds the knife to the curve of his belly. Outside a dwelling, the naked woman uses a long staff and a hollowed trunk as a mortar and pestle. Her thin long hair drapes across her body. In the shadowy firelight, the woman rubs dark, juicy pulp from the trunk over her skin. Now, she lies in a structure bathed in darkness and runs her hands back and forth along a branch. Her skin hangs off her bones in wrinkled distortion of human flesh. Hands shake on the branch as she grips it with her thighs. Her silhouette appears in the woods, lit by a full moon. Her gossamer hair tosses in the winds. As she advances through the darkness, she appears to float off the ground. The eldest son of the Puritan family removes a shutter from his window. He peers out into the bright light, then turns away. He fetches his coat from a wall hook, then tiptoes over the two youngest children and past Thomasin. He stops as Thomasin writhes in her sleep, her face creased in misery. His eyes fix on her breasts, almost visible through her loose smock. He wakes her, and she bolts upright. The boy creeps down to the lower level of the building, passes a dog guarding an empty crib, and puts on his boots. The boy, a 12-year-old with cropped dark hair, trudges through the rain until he reaches the sheaves of corn stalks in the field. His father squats amid mud and trampled leaves, staring straight ahead. He turns his head as the boy approaches.
Caleb.
God give you good morrow. All is still at bed. Save mother.
Tis no ease to rise on a grey day. The devil holds fast your eyelids.
How welcome.
Ah, Landy. Thy mother's not slept a night since.
They both lower their heads.
We can search no more, Caleb. We cannot. If not a wolf, then hunger would have taken him yet.
The father holds some rotting Indian corn in his hand, then throws it away.
Let's to the wood. I've been laying traps for some while now, even before this new misery.
Within the wood?
Will thou not help thy father?
Your mother have always forbade us to set foot there.
Caleb, our harvest cannot last the winter. We must catch our food if we cannot grow it. We will conquer this wilderness. It will not consume us.
Later, Caleb hefts a rifle as he follows his father and the dog into the woods. In their home, Thomasin passes her youngest siblings and peeks at her mother, who whispers in her curtained bed. Now, Thomasin carries a bucket on her head, bracing it with one arm as she plods past the woods. She stumbles and spills some water. Taking a breath, she steadies herself and continues on. Meanwhile, Caleb and his father wander the woods, the treetops obscuring the sun.
Art thou then born a sinner?
I was conceived in sin.
And what is thy birth sin?
Adam's sin imputed to me, and a corrupt nature dwelling within me.
Well remembered, Caleb, very well. And canst thou tell me what thy corrupt nature is?
My corrupt nature
is empty of grace, bent unto sin, only unto sin, and that continually.
Soft now.
Caleb follows his father deeper into the trees. They come to a large uprooted tree, its dark roots exposed and hung with moss. They stop to inspect the trap beside it.
We must lay it again.
Caleb hands the rifle to his father, who rests it against a tree. He crouches, and his father steps on either side of the metal trap. Caleb pries the teeth apart with his fingers.
Was Sam newborn a sinner?
Aye.
How might then...
We pray he hath entered God's kingdom.
What wickedness hath he done?
Place faith in God, Caleb. We'll speak no more on thy brother.
Why? He hath disappeared, not 1 week past, yet you and mother utter not his name.
He is gone, Caleb.
Tell me.
Tell thee what?
Is he in hell?
Caleb.
Mother will not stop her prayer. And if I died this day...
What is this?
I ought evil in me heart. Me sins are not pardoned.
Thou art younger yet.
And if God will not hear my prayer...
Caleb!
Tell me!
Look, you. I love thee marvellous well. But 'tis God alone, not man, what knows who is the son of Abraham and who is not. Who is good and who is evil. Fain would I tell thee that Sam sleeps in Jesus. That thou wilt, that I will. But I cannot tell thee that. None can. Caleb.
Where are these from?
From Indian Tom and Old Slater when last they passed through.
What did you trade?
Thy mother's silver cup.
At the homestead, a chicken struts into its coop. Thomasin brushes it aside and reaches inside the hut. She fetches an egg and studies it, rolling it around in her hand. She straightens, then stops in her tracks. She stares down at the broken egg and the bloodied chick inside. Caleb and his father continue through the woods.
Speak none of this to mother. She's overwrought already. I'll tell her of the cup when her grief has passed. Let's not speak on this again.
Why?
Fowler! Fool of an animal.
Fowler!
Fowler, what is it?
A hare sits watching them, and the father drops to a crouch, preparing his rifle.
Oh, find it.
Father, it died.
To the end.
Caleb watches, jaw slack, as his father jams the long wick into the flintlock musket. The man takes aim. A spark hits him in the eye, and the hare escapes.
Father! Father!
Fowler!
The children chase a black billy goat with curling horns around the farmyard. Thomasin shovels manure in a makeshift animal shelter. Thomasin drops the shovel and strides past a white nanny goat grazing on hay. She approaches the edge of the woods and sits watching them. She's in the same place where she played peekaboo with Sam. Mercy and Jonas keep chasing the black goat, and it prepares to charge.
Get back! You should stop that!
Philip! Fuck! Fuck!
heaven to horses!
Kayla, hold the goat!
The father wrestles the goat Black Philip into its pen but falls to the ground in the process.
Oh! I'll have thee quiet.
Whether were you and Kale up this morn? How could you disappear? And thee? I told thee to keep watch of Jonas and Mercer.
I was. I bade them help me and they paid me no mind. I was against...
What's the matter with thee, Thomason? What is the matter with thee? Take thy father's rags to the brook and wash them.
They'll pay me no mind.
And brush out his woolens. Help him. My lamb. Gave me such a fright to find thee gone. I'll not be left here alone. Dost hear? Morning's work is well behind hand.
Jonas, leave thy sister be.
She likes it.
William.
What, can our father spend godly time with his son? Jonas!
Father said stop it.
Thomason!
Stop.
Stop it! Each of you, stop it! Thomason, take the twins inside.
No!
Get inside. Get inside. Get inside.
As you like.
We went to find apples. In the valley. I thought I seen an apple tree in the valley. Father bought the gun. For if we glanced at
Why did you not tell me?
Father wanted it a surprise to cheer you and... But there were none. I thought I seen him.
Catherine smiles, walks up to Caleb and cradles his face with her hands.
I like you not outside the farm, even to the valley. Dost hear me?
Caleb. Be a good lad and get some water for the mother. Strain up from the brook.
Now, William chops wood, a sheet wrapped around his waist. Thomasin washes her father's clothes by the river. Caleb approaches with a bucket and more clothing draped over his arm. He leans down to dip the bucket in the water. He stops to watch her, studying the curve of her breasts over her corset. She glances up at him, and he snaps his focus to the river. Thomasin starts to smile.
Are you dallying? What then? What? Caleb? Caleb!
Stop it.
I meant no harm in it. What's the matter with thee? Come hither.
Caleb hangs his head, then lets her cradle him.
What's the matter with thee?
I've seen no apples since we went from England. I would that I had found them. I so wish for one.
Hear that?
Aye.
Who's there?
I'm in the witch of the wood.
Mercy, come out.
I'm in of Mercy. I be the witch of the wood. And I have come to steal ye. Hear me stick a flying through the trees. Clickety-clackety. Clickety-clackety.
Mercy.
Clickety-clackety. Clickety-clackety.
Quiet, and thou dost wrong. I be a-washing father's clothes like a slave, and thou art playing idle.
Because mother hates you.
Spoilt child. Tell mother you have left the farm alone.
Black Philip says I can do what I like.
Devil take your Black Philip.
Surefoot, I cannot leave the yard. I could go to the brook before you let the witch take Sam.
Quiet thee.
It were a wolf stole Sam.
A witch. I've seen her in her riding cloak about the wood.
Father showed me the tracks.
It was a witch.
No. It was a witch, Mercy. You speak her right.
Thomason!
It was I.
Liar.
'Twas I what stole him. I be the witch of the wood.
Liar. Liar.
I am.
Listen not to her, Mercy.
I am that very witch. When I sleep, my spirit slips away from my body and dances naked with the devil. So I signed his book.
No.
He bade me bring him an unbaptized babe. So I stole Sam and I gave him to my master. And I'll make any man or thing else vanish I like.
No.
Aye. And I'll vanish thee too if thou displeaseth me.
Be quiet.
Mercy! She's but telling fantasies.
Perchance I'll boil and bake thee. Since we're a lack of food.
No! Stop, Thomason!
It's not true.
It is, old thing. How I crave to sink my teeth into thy pink flesh. If ever thou tellest thy mother of this, I'll witch thee and thy mother and draw this too. Stop thy tears and swear thy silence.
I swear.
You'll not tell mother nor father.
I swear.
Thomason, let her alone.
Get away from the killer or she'll witch thee.
Why tell Mercy those horrible fancies?
Thou hate me now too.
It was a wolf stole Sam.
Leave me be. Go tell mother and father of my wickedness.
Thomason.
I hate that pity. I need it not.
Caleb trudges back to the homestead and leaves Thomason alone by the river. Later the family eats dinner.
And forgive us the sins we have this day committed against thee. Free us from the shame and torment which are due unto us for them. We beseech thee, increase our faith in the promise of the gospel, our fear of thy name, and the hatred of all our sins, that we may be assured that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we might be thy children in thy love and mercy. But as we hunger for this food of our bodies, so our souls hunger for the food of eternal life. Finish soon our days of sin, and bring us to eternal peace, through the purifying blood of thy Son, our Lord, and only Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The family sits at a table illuminated by candlelight. Mercy and Jonas watch William break bread and pass the plate down the table. Caleb takes a portion and looks at Thomason as he hands it to her. Catherine watches the plate as Thomason takes some bread and passes it on. Her mother tears up bread and hands it to the younger children, leaving none for herself. Mercy and Jonas set into their dinner.
Thomason, what's that doing with the silver cup?
It's not on the shelf.
No.
And the six pod then?
Don't know neither. It's been disappeared for some while. Just lose it.
I've not touched it.
Where has it gone then?
I haven't touched it.
I've caught thee trifling with it before.
She says you don't touch it, Catherine.
How thou could lose me father's silver wine cup in this hovel, I cannot know.
I haven't touched
it. Please, child. It's gone. Did a wolf vanish out too?
Thomason sinks, and Caleb's eyes dart around the table.
She hasn't touched it, Catherine.
What is amiss in this farm? Hmm? It's not natural.
Mercy and Jonas stare at their mother as Thomason and William both study their plates.
Caleb, well, I'll read out a chapter of the Word tonight. We must find some light in our darkness. Tomorrow we will have a fast day, but for our sins.
Thomasy, didst not bed them down before supper?
Thomason leaves the house. Stepping into the dark night, she holds up a lantern to guide her way to the stable. She stops, glancing in the direction of the noise, then carries on. The lantern's dim light washes over her face as she holds it higher. Peering into the animal pen, she finds a hare standing between the nanny goats. Meanwhile, William lies in bed, watching Catherine pray on her knees.
You must sleep tonight, Kate.
She finishes her prayer, blowing out the candles before crawling into bed. William wraps an arm around her as she lies against his chest.
Thou dost remember I love thee.
She presses a kiss to the back of his hand.
I do.
Elizabeth, Kay. I fear thou dost look too much upon this affliction. We must turn our thoughts towards God, not ourselves. He hath never taken a child from us. Ne'er one, Caden. Who might earn such grace? We have been ungrateful of God's love.
You've cursed this family.
No. Hath taken us into a very low condition to humble us and to show us more of his grace.
Was not Christ led into the wilderness to be ill met by the devil? We should never have left the plantation.
Kate.
We should never have left.
That damned church.
There is naught hither.
Well, what need we? Silver chalices?
How dare you chide me in a cup? It is not for vanity that I am grieved of it.
Catherine pulls away from him and folds her hands in her lap.
Catherine, I must tell thee.
We might have sold it.
What?
Well, what fool will trade for our corn? Listen me. Our daughter hath begat the sign of her womanhood. Thomasin? Caleb? Are you abed? Mercy? Joris?
The children lie awake.
She's old enough. She must leave to serve another family.
It was not her fault. Kate, I must tell you.
It was thine for taking her family hither.
This is godly land.
Godly? Our children have been fostered up like savages. Kate. How oft I begged and begged thee to take Samuel for baptism.
We cannot baptize outside the congregation.
Our Sam is in hell.
God too.
God save us. Kill him as well.
We must keep him still. And Thomasin.
Our corn is trash.
We cannot back to that church.
We will starve.
Peace, peace. You wake. I'll to the village with the horse and Thomasin tomorrow. The tidings are the whitings. They can make use of her. They're good folk. Stop, Kate. We will find food, I know it.
Caleb watches with sympathy as Thomasin rests her chin on her knees. Later, Caleb heads into the stable and hangs a lantern next to their horse. He brings the animal a bucket of feed.
Caleb? What are you doing?
Go to sleep.
What's this? Tell me, now.
Running away, then?
No.
Why not, May?
I don't.
Then what? Tell me.
If thou walk back to sleep and keep silent of this, I promise thee, you need not leave to serve the Tildens, nor any family else. I'll be back by midday.
And let me along with you.
No.
Let me along.
I cannot.
If you don't let me along with you, I'll wake mother and father this instant.
In the grey light of early morning, Caleb leads the horse through the woods, Thomasin on its back. Caleb checks his father's rabbit trap.
I thought we did.
Nay.
We did.
No.
We had glass windows in England. You haven't been hither so long, you can forget that.
How'd you like, Thomasin?
You got mad. Dost not remember Fowler laying on the floor in the sun? You must.
Nay.
And where the sun would shine would he warm himself. Remember once he lay upon the table? And father saw him and he said, we will have him for meat. Kate, we will roast this beast. You must remember that.
I remember that day, but no glass.
Well, it was pretty.
The hare sits in their path, its yellow eyes staring.
What is it, boy? Cardi! Sparrow! Fowler! Stand there with Bert!
Caleb, no!
Oh, Fraser!
He's gone mad!
Thomasin falls from the horse. In the towering woods, Caleb holds the rifle and searches his surroundings. He tries to whistle.
Thomasin!
Shh! Shh!
Fowler!
Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me and I'll leave my sin. For I repent and now shall be. From evil I will turn to thee. None ever shall destroy my faith, nor do I mind what Satan say. Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me and I'll leave my sin. For I repent and now shall be. From evil I will turn to thee. None ever shall destroy my faith, nor do I mind what Satan say. Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me and I'll leave.
Caleb breaks into a run. Caleb trips and falls to the ground. In front of him, Fowler lies almost torn in half, its entrails spilling into the grass. Elsewhere, Thomasin comes to, lying in a heap on the ground. She sits up and takes in her surroundings. Thomasin bolts through the woods, her bright figure weaving between narrow trunks. Caleb's breaths come in heavy gasps as he gazes into the sky. He glances over his shoulder before running farther into the woods. Caleb reaches an area thick with tangled brush and sticks. He crawls, then clambers through the winding labyrinth, grimacing as he tries to navigate through all the branches in his path. Caleb sets down the rifle. While making his way through, He stops when he spots the hare hopping away just up ahead. Approaching the homestead, Thomasin runs towards her father.
Caleb!
Father!
Thomasin! Oh my God! My God!
William throws his arms around his daughter and holds her close.
Where is thy brother?
Growing more frightened, Caleb furrows his brow as he wanders onward. He heads for a shack with a wooden door built into the slopes of the forest. The narrow tree trunks form a path to the dwelling, and smoke billows from an unseen chimney. As he gets closer, a barefoot young woman emerges from the shadowy doorway. She wears a black dress with a red cloak. She eyes Caleb, then lifts her skirt above her ankles as she crosses toward him. Her dark wavy hair cascades down her cleavage. She keeps her eyes fixed on him and then bends down. Caleb freezes, staring at her with terrified eyes and a trembling lip. The woman gives him an alluring smile. Trembling, Caleb takes a step toward her, then another, until they stand face to face. She reaches out a hand to stroke his tear-stained face, then leans forward and kisses his lips. Caleb hesitates, and her gnarled hand grips the back of his head. At the house, Thomasin sits against a wall, staring into space.
What's the matter with thee, Thomasin? What's the matter with thee?
I'll set off at first light. I'll not return till I've found him.
It would be better to go to the village to raise up help.
It's a day's ride, and I have no horse. There's no time to be lost.
But likely you should have left this morning. You have no gun, William. Nay, not even a dog. Be not a fool.
I am a fool to go. There is none will help this family.
Catherine tugs on William's coat.
Let me be. The moon is bright, the rain bothers me not. I'll be back in a 2 day if any man will return with me.
Father, did you pass me off?
She marches back to Thomasin.
Tell us why you went to the wood.
I promise.
I care not.
Let me find favour in your eyes.
Child, tell me and I will.
I am.
Speak!
I
took thy father's cup. I sold it. Forgive me, Kay. Forgive me, Thomas.
What is this?
Catherine, I must make confession. I yestermorn took Caleb to the wood. It was for food, and the pelts for money, good money.
I knew you were false. I knew it.
I meant it as a surprise. It was why I kept secret. I will trap that wolf, Kate.
You stood by whilst the sun lied to me.
It was for thy sake. I love thee, Kate.
You took him to the woods.
I will find him.
You've broken God's covenant. You're a liar. And you've lost another child.
I will go now.
You cannot escape the woods.
I will find him.
And kill myself too. Well, John has been a man of the house. Will you damn all your family to death?
Catherine!
Let go of it!
Thomasin and the children watch from the door. Catherine collapses and William carries her back into the house. Later, Thomasin tends to William's face.
Picking apples. Mother?
court's been bedded down yet?
No.
I'll do it.
Let it wait till the morrow. We dare not escape with this rain.
Nay, I'll do it. Please you, mother.
Come hither, child.
As William holds his injured nose, Thomasin crosses to Catherine and sits at her feet. Catherine strokes her daughter's face, then kisses her forehead.
Hurry back.
Thomasin smiles at her and heads for the door. William glances at his wife, then returns to holding his nose. In the pen, Thomasin pets a nanny goat. She glances over her shoulder in the direction of the noise. The goat moves off, and Thomasin gets to her feet. She takes her lantern and holds it high, peering into the darkness. The lantern falls from her hand. Caleb stands naked and propped up against a fence. She rushes to catch him as he topples.
Caleb!
Now, Catherine watches over Caleb as he lies in bed, unconscious. She lights a candle as Thomasin enters the room with a porcelain bowl and linen cloths. She crouches beside her mother. The women lift Caleb's shoulders. Thomasin holds his head while Catherine wraps a strip of linen around his chest. They lower him back onto his pillow, the flickering candlelight revealing cuts and bruises around his mouth. Thomasin picks up the bowl and holds it beside Caleb's head. Catherine takes a knife and pierces the skin at Caleb's temple. Blood trickles into the bowl. Thomasin glances at William, staring at them from the corner of the room.
O merciful Father, grant the Lord and giver of life, your Son Jesus Christ, sake, we beseech thee. Look down from heaven upon him with those eyes of grace and compassion.
William chops several blocks of wood in the dark, rainy night. Now Mercy teases Black Philip.
Ba, ba. Ba, ba, ba.
What ails Caleb, Black Philip? What ails him?
Did Thomasin make him sick in the wood?
What say you?
Black Philip, Sif, you are wicked.
Aye, he told me too.
Damn your Black Philip.
He said you put the devil in Caleb. That's why he's sick.
I'd never hurt Caleb. Nor Sam, nor thee.
You beat me.
'Twas a jest.
You said you'd eat of me.
Mercy!
Mother and father will find out.
What?
That you are a witch. Thomasin! Thomasin?
Thomasin returns to milking a nanny goat, but blood sprays into the milk pail. She kicks the pail over. Thomasin backs against the wall. The children stand on either side of Black Philip, staring at her. The blood seeps into the straw bedding. In the house's attic, Caleb takes shallow breaths as he lies unconscious.
This night forevermore. Amen.
Catherine prays beside her son, and as William enters the room, she turns to meet his gaze.
Dost remember John Kemp's son? That first winter he was tormented of Indian magic?
This is not the same.
This is unnatural providence.
I know not that.
Look at my son. Will.
What?
Think.
Think what?
Think.
I have no thoughts.
Does this not look like witchcraft?
What witch? Who does this then? Who? I thought there was a child.
What are you doing?
We're back to the plantation in the morning. Find a good family for Thomasin. We'll take Caleb to the doctors. He'll tell if this be some natural ill or not. Yet we cannot return as beggars. I'll scour the field. There must be some fruit yet untouched by this rot. I beseech thee, Catherine, what canst thou do for him presently?
How might we all bear it to the village with no horse?
Well, the little corn and the goat should fetch a fair price. We'll back with Caleb and sell them, return with a horse for the twins and Thomasin.
You cannot leave them here.
Well, Thomasin and thee...
Oh, forget the crop, Will!
What? What dost thou want, Catherine? Tell me, and I will give it thee.
I want to be home.
Thou shalt be home by candle time tomorrow.
In England. Oh, Will. I also have a confession to make. I never meant to be a shrew to thee. I have become as Job's wife, I know it. Since Sam, since... My heart's turned to stone. I had a dream once. It was when I was of Thomasin's years. That I was with Christ upon earth. Oh, I was so very near him. And in many tears for the assurance of the pardon of my sins. And I was so ravished with his love towards me. I thought it far exceeding the affection of the Countess husband. And since Samuel disappeared, I have such a sad weakness of faith I cannot shake it. I cannot see Christ's help is near. I pray and I pray, but I cannot. I fear I cannot ever feel that same measure of love again.
Thou shalt have of it in heaven. I'll be in field. If you can spare a while, do. We'll leave at dawn. I promise you that.
William leaves the room and Catherine bows her head.
Joris, Mercy, come here,
Speak a word.
The twins run off, leaving Thomasin in the pen. Later, Jonas watches William search the corn sheaves with a scythe. The women work outside the house.
But Philip is an American, he will go along with me.
I cannot abide your songs.
Please, you, Mercy.
But Philip has a madman sting, he'll knock thee to the earth. King Bob, after Philip goes back, King Bob,
peace, thou thing, Mercy, Thomasin.
Sing Bob, King Philip the Black, he'll knock thee on my back.
Enough!
They dash to the attic. William follows with Jonas under his arm.
Get the poor eyes on this fed. 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 You divide me! You nails! My bowels! My stomach! The pigeons! The scratchy!
Thomasin, take the children outside.
What does this to thee? What does this?
Caleb convulses and starts to drool blood.
His mouth is sealed up. Oh, God. William. William.
Hold it. Children, away from this. Thomasin, help.
break his jaws.
Caleb vomits out an apple spotted with rot. Blood and drool drip onto the floor as he collapses.
William. He's witched.
To shame!
No! Horrible fancy fish!
Thomas is still Sam.
Silence.
She gave it to the devil in the wood.
Will I?
What say you?
She's done Flora's milk to blood. She had managed to keep secret from you.
Oh, but just to quiet her.
She made a bargain with Satan. Sign his book.
Silence!
Don't let him hear me. She'll place a curse on me.
They conspire against me.
Thomas is a witch.
No, I'll not hear it. I'll have proof or heaven help thee. On thy knees. Look me in the eye, daughter. Dost thou love the word of God?
Yes.
Love you the Bible? Love you prayer?
Yes. Yes.
We are children of sin all. Yet I tell thee, I have raised up no witch in this house. Let us pray. Then we need fear nothing. We shall never lie open to the wicked one. Pray for thy brother.
You must believe him.
Evil red
Thomas, pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
The kingdom come. Jonas, pray.
I cannot remember my prayer.
What?
Nor I. I cannot.
What nonsense is this?
Speak, children. Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Pray.
Pray you be. Get on my knees and pray.
Damnation.
The children writhe.
I cannot hear this. This is not so.
Caleb relaxes and gazes up at them. His parents crouch beside him, and Catherine strokes his head. Caleb smiles.
Cast the light of countenance upon me. Spread over me the lap of thy love. Wash me in the ever-flowing fountains of thy blood. Holy thine I am, my sweet Lord Jesus. My Lord, my love, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. How lovely art thou, thy embrace. My Lord, my Lord, my love, my soul's salvation, take me to thy lap.
Caleb takes a last breath, a crazed smile on his lips. He lies still, his sightless eyes gazing up at the heavens.
He is dead.
twins lie unmoving.
Jonas, Mercy, get up.
Get up!
Thomasin leans toward her mother, cradling Caleb's body.
Get away from him! Get me gone!
Outside, Thomasin collapses at the foot of a skeletal tree, William close behind.
Thomasin! Oh, God.
William drops beside her, pulling her into his arms and rocking her.
This tree will be lovely come spring. Do you remember when we came hither? Such a pretty tree. Next year I'd have sown as a wheat field. Started at this tree and ended thither. Would have been a proper farm then. Brought us a big fat milk cow. Finished us the barn.
She leaves William's embrace and faces away from him.
You must tell me, Thomasin. Tomorrow I cannot keep secret of this. A council will be called, and thy life is thy life.
Will you not believe me?
I saw the serpent in my son. You stop their prayers.
They lie.
I saw it. Caleb disappeared with thee.
I love Caleb.
Yeah, and who then found him? Pale as death. Naked as sin and witched. Thomasin, listen to me. The bargain thou hast made is of no effect.
I made no bargain.
Thy soul belongeth to Christ.
I made no bargain.
The devil hath no interest in thee.
I am no witch, Father.
What did I but see in my house?
Will you not hear me?
I pray thee, confess.
Why have you turned against me?
Christ, come and witch us if you will but speak truth to me. As I love thee, speak truth.
You asked me to speak truth.
I beg thee.
You and mother plan to rid the farm of me. Aye. I heard you speak of it. Is that truth? You took a mother's cup and let her rail at me. You confessed not till it was too late. Is that truth?
Please leave.
I will not.
I am not.
You are a hypocrite.
Hold thy tongue, daughter mine.
You took Caleb to the wood and let me take the blame of that too. Is that truth?
William closes his eyes.
You let mother be as thy master. You cannot bring the crops to yield. You cannot hunt. Is that truth enough?
Enough.
Thou canst do nothing save cut wood.
Best!
And you will not hear me!
Must I hear the devil wag his tongue in thy mouth?
Ask the twins then. Go on, ask them. They spend all day long babbling to that horned beast. They know well his voice.
Go to.
The adversary oft comes in the shape of a he-goat. And whispers, aye, whispers. He is Lucifer. You know it. The twins know it
too. Slander thy brethren no more.
It is they.
From my sight.
'Twas they and that goat what bewitched the soul farm.
Lies.
Was the wolf still, Sam? I never saw no wolf. Mercy told me herself by the stream, I be the witch of the wood.
Get up. Run!
He drags her away by the collar of her dress. In the house, the twins lie on the curtained bed. They give the occasional twitch and struggle to breathe. William kicks the door open and throws Thomasin down. Catherine stares.
What is this?
Speak.
I am no witch.
Get her from my sight. I'll not have her in this house.
She is no witch, Catherine. What is the cause, daughter? Tell thy mother.
I cannot know for certain.
Thou told me well, thou knew.
I cannot look at her.
Aye, but ye shall. Thomasin. Thomasin!
Jonas and Mercy. They made covenant with the devil in the shape of Black Philip.
Dost hear that? ye black minions. Dost hear that, yoke devils? Wake! Wake from this! Did ye make some unholy bond with that gulch? Speak if this be pretense! Dissemblers, grave pretenders all, hear me this. I will not play a fool to children's games.
This is no sport, William.
Yet these lies from our babes' mouths are but trifles to them.
I do not lie.
Silence, creature!
My son is dead, damned!
Caleb did but cry, Jesus.
The devil!
Thou know it not.
The devil will speak scripture too.
Thou know it not. It's not true.
We are damned.
Wake! Fetch the billock, wife, and I will smite Jonas as Abraham would have done his seed.
No, stop it!
Fetch the billock, and I will dash his skull!
Do you see?
Stop it!
Do you see now?
What are you doing, Father?
No, it's not safe. Not with them.
Keep me from this door.
If that old Billy be the devil, I'd have danced with him myself. I'll break thee out upon the door, and we'll set back to the plantation. Think on thy sins.
William boards his children up in the goat pen. Thomasin's fingers appear between the boards as he storms off. Later, Mercy and Jonas sit in the straw beside Black Philip. Thomasin raises her head to study them.
Are you witches?
Self, I think I am.
Are you?
No. Does he really speak to thee?
Mercy stares at Black Philip as he pants, and he seems to stare back at her. In the nearby field, William and Catherine stand beside a bare tree. They both grip shovels. Behind them, smoke rises from the chimney of their home. Grey clouds fill the sky, and the dark woods tower over the collection of small farm buildings. William starts to tip soil into a fresh grave. Catherine's shovel falls from her hands, and she climbs into the grave. William stands back. Wrapped in white fabric, Caleb's body lies in the grave. Catherine clings to it and peers up at William, still holding the shovel. He stares back, expressionless. Later that night, he chops wood behind the house. In the pen, Thomasin watches her father drop to his knees.
I confess it. Oh my God. I am false. I am infected with the filth of pride. I know it. I am. Dispose of me how thou wilt. Yet redeem my children. They cannot tame their natural evil. I lie before thee, a coward. And thine enemy, and I'll lick the dust of thine earth.
He eats dirt from his hand, dust spewing every time he speaks.
I beg thee. Save my children. I beg thee, my Christ. I have not damned my family.
The night deepens, casting a stillness over the farm. While Thomasin sleeps, Mercy and Jonas huddle together in a corner of the pen, facing Black Philip. As one, they both turn to look in Thomasin's direction. In the house, Catherine creeps out of bed. Candlelight flickers as Catherine takes off her nightcap, revealing her blonde hair in a braid. She takes a candle holder from the bedside table. Crossing the room with slow, determined steps, she bends down to light her candle at the fireplace. As she straightens, she notices a silver cup resting on a nearby barrel. She turns around. Caleb sits on a chair, watching her with blank eyes. The infant Sam lies asleep in his arms. Caleb stares at her as she sets the candle aside. She throws her arms around him.
Oh, Mother, we have longed to see you so. Is that to thee? I must wait thy father. He will be so glad. Now, let him sleep.
In the pen, Mercy and Jonas sit wide awake, eyeing Black Philip. Catherine unties her nightdress as she gazes down at Sam. Meanwhile, the twins inch closer to the other side of the barn.
Flora? Flora?
In the darkness, a naked, haggard woman hunches beside their white nanny goat. The old woman turns to face them. Thomasin wakes, recoiling from the scene. In the house, a raven tears into Catherine's exposed breast. William lies asleep in bed, one arm resting on the pillow. He stirs, and his eyes drift open in the dim grey light. He rolls over, crawling over a sleeping Catherine who lies in bed beside him. As he leaves the bed, her eyes snap open. A patch of blood stains her nightgown over her left breast. Her eyes follow him. William steps outside and moves a few feet into the yard. He inspects the surrounding property, then stops cold, focusing on a place to his left. He stares hard before marching toward the goat pen. As William gets closer to the pen, his expression grows more grave. He takes in a large hole in the thatch roof, the barricade smashed and broken, and their white goats strewn across the yard with their bloodied bones exposed. Lying near the goats, Thomasin comes to, and meets her father's gaze. She pushes herself into a sitting position. William raises his gaze to beseech the skies, and Black Philip rams a sharp horn into his gut. William manages to slide off the horn, and blood pools into his hand. Black Philip rears up, leaping on his back legs. Crouched on the ground, William grabs his axe from beside the woodpile, blood leaking through his teeth. He and the goat lock gazes, and William lets the axe drop to the ground. Trembling, he braces himself, bloody mucus clinging to his beard.
Corruption. Thou art my father. Oh, no.
Black Philip knocks William back into the towering woodpile by the side of the house. The falling split logs bury William up to his neck. The goat trots away, while in the barn Thomasin bows her head, her breaths coming in panicked gasps. She raises her eyes. Getting to her feet, she makes her way past the dead animals. She crosses to where her father lies motionless beneath the heap of split logs. With a devastated expression, she crouches down, then reaches out to touch him. Catherine grabs her by the hair, yanking her up to a standing position and throwing her back.
What happened?
Where are they?
No, not what I saw.
Where are they?
I did nothing. She came from the sky.
Devil! You have their blood upon thy hands! It is you! It is you!
Have you a torch?
The devil is in thee, and have had thee! You are smeared of his sin! You reek of evil! You have made a covenant with
brother! You bewitched thy brother!
Proud sort! Did you not think I saw thy slaughter's look to him? Bewitching his eyes any harm. And
me.
Thy father next. You took them from me.
They were gone.
You killed my children. You killed that father.
You witch. I love you. I love you.
What?
Thomasin grabs a knife lying in the dirt and strikes Catherine, leaving her with a large slash down her face. Blood sprinkles onto Thomasin's face and clothes as Catherine gapes. In a fury, Catherine strangles her daughter. Catherine collapses onto Thomasin, her face broken by stab wounds. Thomasin turns her face away. Writhing in anguish, Thomasin cradles her mother's blood-soaked head. Catherine's lifeless body lies on top of Thomasin, pinning her to the ground. Blood paints her stark white nightgown. Thomasin lies still, holding her dead mother close. Thomasin manages to tip Catherine's body onto the ground, then climbs to her feet. She staggers away from the house, taking in her bleak surroundings. Catherine's blood stains her face and clothes. She slows to a stop, staring out at the edge of the nearby woods. A light breeze stirs her hair, falling from its careful braid. Nothing moves in the small house. A bench waits beside an empty table, and bits of straw cover the dingy dirt floor. Thomasin's shadow crosses the threshold. Once inside, Thomasin shrugs her shawl to the floor, then loosens the intricate fastenings on her bodice. She steps out of the homespun dress, but blood still coats her underclothes. Dressed only in her boots and shift, she makes her way across the room to gather a sheet from off her parents' bed. Moving toward the table, she hesitates, clutching the sheet to her chest. She wraps the shawl around her shoulders and sinks down onto the bench beside the table. She stares into space, then slumping forward, she rests her head on her folded arms. Night falls, plunging the house into darkness. Thomasin stirs. With slow, frightened movements, she lifts her head. She glances over her shoulder at the door still standing open. Now, she treks across the farm holding a candle to light her way. The trees at the edge of the woods tower above her. Black Philip waits outside the pen, and she slows her pace as she approaches him. She comes to a stop a few feet away from him, and he turns away, ambling into the ruins of the shelter. She follows him, disappearing from view. The candle illuminates Thomasin's face in the dark barn. Blood dries on her throat and chest. She fixes her gaze on the goat.
Like Philip, I conjure thee to speak to me. Speak as thou dost speak to Jonas and Mercy. Dost thou understand my English tongue? Answer me.
Thomasin closes her mouth. She sinks, turning to go.
What dost thou want?
What canst thou give?
Wouldst thou like the taste of butter? A pretty dress? Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Yes.
Wouldst thou like to see the world?
What will you from me?
Dost thou see a book before thee?
An open book lies in the straw. As if walking on his back legs, one of Philip's hooves passes the book, followed by the matching step of a man's boot.
Remove thy shift.
Her eyes dart. She pulls the shift open and lets it slide off her shoulders. A bearded man with a black hat appears from the shadows behind her. He presses close on her left side and grips her right shoulder with a gloved hand.
cannot write my name.
I will guide thy hand.
Later, a naked woman's pale form trudges through the field and into the woods. Black Philip bounds up behind her, crossing through the tree line at the same time. She continues further into the woods, the goat leading her on through the eerie trees. She finds naked women bowing before a bonfire. The women whip their long hair in a frenzy as Thomasin approaches. Thomasin approaches and stops at the edge of their circle. She watches them with hard eyes as they grip their staffs, racked by a wild dance. As their bonfire grows higher, the women begin to rise into the air. Thomasin watches them, her mouth agape. Her body lifts from the earth, and she breaks into euphoric laughter. She throws her head back, shadows dappling her features until they appear hag-like and skeletal. Tears trickle down her cheeks as she grins. Arms raised high, one woman soars up to the tops of the looming trees. Credits roll. Written and directed by Robert Eggers. This film was inspired by many folktales, fairy tales and written accounts of historical witchcraft, including journals, diaries and court records. Much of the dialogue comes directly from these period sources. Parts and Labor, RT Features, Rook's Nest Entertainment, Maiden Voyage Pictures and Mott Street Pictures Present. In association with Cove Red Productions, Scythia Films, Pulse Films, and Special Projects. Anya Taylor-Joy, Ralph Innocent, Kate Dickey, Harvey Scrimshaw, Ellie Granger, Lucas Dawson, Bathsheba Garnett, Sarah Stevens, Julian Riching, and Wahab Shori. Produced by Jay Van Hoy, Lars Knudsen, Jody Redmond, Daniel Beckerman, and Rodrigo Teixeira. Executive producers Lorenzo Santana, Sophie Maas, Michael Sackler, Julia Godzinskaya, Chris Columbus, Eleanor Columbus, Alex Sagalkic, Alexandra Jones, Jonathan Bronfman, Thomas Bensky, and Lucas Ochoa. Co-producers Joel Birch, Rosalie Colelli, and Lauren Harbour. Casting by Carmel Cochran, John Buchan CSA and Jason Knight CSA. Director of Photography Jaron Blaschke. Production Designer Craig Lathrop. Editor Louise Ford. Costume designer Linda Muir. Original music by Mark Corvin. Co-executive producers Marc Jean Gras, Ethan Lazar, and Lon Molnar. More credits roll.